Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart,
every symbol, every story is a breadcrumb trail.
The healing power of your dreams is coming through the night, turning broken pieces into wings, turning shadows.
Have you ever noticed that when you're dreaming, you don't get a polite introduction? There's no voice saying, "Welcome to tonight's dream adventure." You're simply there, right in the middle of the action. And however bizarre that action, it feels entirely normal. One moment you're stuck in traffic, the next you're flying over the pyramids talking to an octopus. Well, that's exactly how today's show is designed to make you feel. We're not easing gently in today's topic. We're diving straight into the deep end because today's theme is one of the most fascinating, controversial, but timely, and let's be honest, wonderfully weird subjects we could possibly explore. Disclosure.
Dun, 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 dun. I think it needs a soundtrack. We're talking about full disclosure today. Does that make anybody nervous? It makes me a little bit like, oh my goodness. We're going to be talking about alien disclosure, ET disclosure, dream disclosure, truths that may be revealed to us through channeling, through contact with extraterrestrials, and maybe the truth about ourselves that it's time to face, and maybe the truth will set us free.
So in Dream Diva style, we're just jumping headfirst into the action. Kelly, I have to ask, what's the most outrageous, unbelievable, did I really dream that dream you'd be willing to disclose on the show for us today?
It's a hard dream to talk about. So I've had many very, very, very strange dreams. But recently, Teresa, I was telling you that Donald Trump and I got to know each other very well in my dream. And I was kind of horrified because I was like, wait, I'm sleeping with the enemy. And then I realized, okay, I'm his girlfriend. And that saying, keep your friends close, enemies closer. And I thought, I'm getting to know him. I always want to get to know what I consider shadow creatures. And so I was getting to know him. Yeah. And there was more to it than that, but I'll leave it to the imagination.
I'm going to jump in with my dream diva on that, because there is a perception about you, Kelly, when people talk about you. You have charisma, you're quite Hollywood, that's a name. And I know you don't like that, but actually getting to know you.
Not in Hollywood, because when you're in Hollywood, I'm the least Hollywood person in Hollywood.
They see such a kind, sensitive, intuitive, loving soul. And I feel in this dream, you've just decided to embrace that, but not to let it take you over, because I believe in your dream, you were aware and thought, I'm going to turn this to my advantage because I know what's going on here. That's what I'm thinking. Though you can may as well just throw caution to the wind. I'll be this Hollywood charisma dream diva. But through that, I'm going to reveal my true self through fun, breaking people down with my brilliant dream decoding.
Well, I think when it comes to any shadow character, we should ask. I mean, it's easy to say when we have a dream to say that everyone in the dream is an aspect of us. If we're dreaming about Mother Teresa, or we're dreaming Mother Teresa, you. If we're dreaming about you, it's like, oh, she's a part of me. But when we dream about somebody we don't like, we're like, oh, that's not a part of me. But what if it is? Okay, enough about my dream.
I love that.
And let's talk about yours.
I think you just won today's award for the most unexpected dream guest on UK Health Radio. waiting in the wings to discuss how he feels about being in Kelly's dream is...
Shut up. Teresa, shut up.
Got you. How many of you listening?
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised.
Had a president online with us, but who knows? But that's exactly what dreams do. They can feel so real and often cast people in roles we'd never consciously choose because they're speaking in symbolic language, not headlines. Whether Donald Trump represents power, confidence, controversy, charisma, or simply someone impossible to ignore, your unconscious chose him for a reason, Kelly. Dreams don't judge, they reveal.
Okay, all right, enough about my dream. Let's talk about yours. What's one of your most bizarre dreams that you've had of late?
Before that, I'm going to say we decided the theme of this show months ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
That it was going to be, we were building up to this because, you know, we've taken this show in many directions. And I love the fact today, this is very UK specific, so our American guests will just look blank, that actually there is a candidate for a by-election who is an intergalactic being called Count Binface.
What?
Yes. And he's saying that he's beamed in from another galaxy. I mean, it's basically making fun of politics. And it's really interesting that it coincides with today's show, where we're talking about this here in the UK as well, showing that people are ready to just have a bit of fun. We're so tired of being told the same old stories, and we want a new narrative. I mean, of course, it is. It's gone to farce. This is a farcical candidate, but there are only two candidates. One is Binface and the other is Nigel Farage of Reform. And anyone listening in the UK will know what I'm saying. It's absolutely hilarious. But anyway,
I hope he wins.
I know, but he will. But this is Britain. We have that sense of humour. I am concerned. Can you imagine him in Parliament? Because nobody knows who he is. His identity is a secret. He just walks around with a bin on his head and he says he's from Face and he calls himself Count Binface. He's very well spoken, very funny. Anyway, enough about Count Binface.
Okay.
My dream. I'm going to quickly do that because I want to bring on our stunning guests who are far more interesting than me. But my dream, actually, I was in a kind of Star Wars bar. You know, intergalactic bar. And I'm bringing up this dream because of the theme of the show. But it stayed with me because it was a wedding, an alien wedding. And I was very judgy about all the aliens at the bar looking at their appearance and not liking it. And then it came the time for the wedding and the lights all shone on me. And I realized that I was the one getting married. And then Leonardo DiCaprio walks in.
Of course. As he does.
And looks at me and says, I'm not marrying an alien. I was the alien. Okay, Kelly, quick dream decode for that.
Oh, I love that it was Leonardo DiCaprio that you were marrying, but
Inception.
He was rejecting you. So, from my perspective, what's most alien to most of us is our own power. And we're all aliens. None of us are from here. We're heavenly creatures that are incarnating here on Earth for a period of time. And it's awkward because we forget how powerful we are. We have amnesia. But I love this dream because it feels like you're remembering, even though you're being shunned in the dream. If it were my dream, I'm being shunned. But there's this power. I think about the Marianne Williamson quote. Your dream makes me think of that thing about our greatest fear is not that we're inadequate. It's that we're powerful beyond measure.
Yeah.
But sometimes when we step into our power, people are like, ooh, I don't want that. I just want the little teeny cute little version of you. But you're an intergalactic.
Oh, Kelly, you are good. You are good. Well done.
Whatever.
Whether our dreams take us into an unexpected affair or alien marriage, they invite us to stretch our imagination beyond what we think is possible, and therein lies their power. And speaking of stretching what's possible, our first guest today has spent more than four decades exploring one of the biggest questions of all. For many people, Bashar, as channeled through Daryl Anker, is a living dream, an invitation to imagine realities beyond our everyday understanding. For others, he's a fascinating mystery. Either way, today's conversation promises to expand minds, challenge assumptions, and spark imagination.
So I want to talk about who I'm going to call my friend. I think he's my friend, and he's now everybody's friend of the show, Daryl Anker. He's an internationally known channeler, speaker, and author. For more than 40 years, he's publicly channeled an entity known as Bashar. And I think everyone here knows who he is and what he does. Anyway, Bashar is a multidimensional extraterrestrial being whose teachings have inspired curiosity, debate, and profound personal transformation around the world. Before this extraordinary journey began, Daryl worked extensively in Hollywood's film and special effects industry. Today, through seminars, books, and audiovisual presentations, he continues to explore consciousness, human potential, and our place in the cosmos. And if you'd like to know more about his work, you can go to Bashar.org. That's Bashar.org. And his escape rooms at boggledescaperooms.com. So whether you believe channeling is a bunch of hooey or if it's genuine communication, it's a fascinating psychological phenomenon no matter what. So stay with us, Teresa, because I think
we're exploring disclosure from every possible angle, Kelly. Please welcome Daryl Anka.
Daryl Anka!
But before I hand you over to the very capable hands of Kelly, as I know the two of you have a long history together, and I'm so grateful to Kelly for inviting you here today, I'd love to ask you a question myself. I'm being a bit selfish here, but I'm going to get that question in. As dream divas, Kelly and I spend our lives exploring the strange worlds our unconscious creates every night, Daryl. You've spent your life exploring another kind of altered state. So here's my question. Have you ever had a dream where you felt Bashar was dreaming you rather than you were dreaming about Bashar? In other words, have you ever woken up wondering whether just for a moment the channel had become the channeled?
Ooh, nice.
Not specifically that way, but I did have a dream that is close to that idea. And I've had about four dream communications with Bashar, and they're always very different than a normal dream because it's literally just an extended conversation like I'm speaking with you right now. There's nothing else that happens in the dream other than what it is that I'm exchanging with that entity. So the dream that is the most telling and the one that has, I think, the most to do with the timing of disclosure is I did ask at one point why they don't just land. And so in the dream, I saw his ship come down. I saw him get out of the ship. And I saw him walk toward me. And when he was about 20 or so feet away from me, I actually lost my identity and saw my body through his eyes, like I had become him. And in the dream, my body backed away. And he said, see, this is why you are not ready. Humans are not ready for this, because our vibration, our understanding of ourselves is so much more powerful than you're willing to be, that our presence would overwhelm you and you would lose your identity. So this is all about sharing information with you that will allow you to upgrade and strengthen your frequency, your identity, so you can stand on your own two feet in our presence and not lose yourself, because what we're seeking are equals, not people who are going to succumb to our vibration, but to stand in your own vibration of truth and be equals to us. So this is also, I think, the measuring rod of what's happening with disclosure, is information is being given to us to allow us time to ponder what it means for our society, because contact with ETs is a huge sea change, a huge shift in our paradigm of existence. And they're trying to give us enough information that we have the time to absorb it, to understand it, and to apply it in our lives in a way that will make our energy more equal to theirs, so that we can interact more as equals and will not give our power over to them, will not lose ourselves in their vibration, because we really don't have a clear understanding of the nature of these beings who have been, you know, more evolved than us for probably thousands, if not millions of years. And what happens to consciousness when someone is that evolved? It becomes close to the idea itself of spirit, of living in a living waking dream, multidimensionally speaking. So I think that interaction with ETs in full disclosure, in open contact, is going to impress upon us the idea more clearly that what we're experiencing as physical reality is also a type of dream, and that we're creating it. And the more lucid we become in physical reality, the more lucid we become in the physical dream, the more we understand our true power, how we're actually creating our physical reality experience with our consciousness. And that again puts us closer to the level that the ETs operate on, which is very different than what we think. We tend to have this sci-fi definition of, well, we're meeting an alien and they're just these other physical beings that come from another planet and they land here and we shake hands and all that. But there's something much more than that. Their nature is beyond just the idea of their physicality. And this is something we have to learn to tap into. Like you said, Kelly, we kind of have had amnesia about our true soul power. And it's stepping into that true soul vibration that's actually going to be what not only wakes us up, but makes us vibrationally compatible to be able to interact with ETs that have evolved beyond the idea that they are just physical beings.
Wow,
This is
thank you for that illuminating answer. It makes me think about dreams in a whole new light. I've got so much buzzing in my head. Kelly, dreams is a bridge to
Exactly.
extraterrestrial contact. Kelly, over to you. A lot of listeners won't understand channeling. I'm wondering if you could maybe.
Well, I think there's something about what you just said that this is why I love to interview you. This is why I've had so much open contact with you, Daryl, because being around you isn't just about this fascinating idea about aliens, extraterrestrials being here, but it's because that can seem outside of our power, this happening. But there, what you talk about is the fingers are always pointing back to us. Just like in dream work, when we think of these people like Teresa's dream, oh, it's all these other aliens. It's like, oh no, let's look at ourselves. What can we do to raise our vibration? And you and I have talked about how dreams might be, or maybe tell us a little bit about, okay, a two-part question. And I know we are going to be going to an ad break soon, but quickly, what is blocking humanity? What's in the way of us being able to have that full open contact? And the B part of that is, can our dreams help us raise our vibration so that it's not such an ontological shock?
Yes, well, fear-based beliefs, negative beliefs we have about ourselves do a lot of the blocking, because we buy into things that are vibrationally not aligned with who we really are, what our soul vibration really is. Dreams can help because in dreams, our physical minds are out of the way temporarily, and it's easier to create contact with beings that operate on a more dreamlike level, on a higher level of reality. So certainly it's easier for us to receive information and process information when we don't necessarily have our physical minds and our negative and fear-based beliefs clouding the communication.
Oh,
Perfect.
so
See you on the
empowering.
other side, everyone. Hold on to those wild dreams. Got to go to
Oh.
an ad break.
Okay. See you on the other side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers. We're back. If you just joined us, you're arriving at the exact right moment in the right time because we are right in the middle of a truly mind-bending and expanding conversation with the amazing Daryl Anka, whose work with Bashar has invited millions to rethink consciousness, reality, and our place in the cosmos. Teresa, I know you've been burning with a question.
I mean, very quick one. Daryl, if dreams are humanity's nightly visit to another reality, possibly another realm, extraterrestrial, what do you think aliens dream about?
Ooh.
Do they dream?
Well, see, that's the thing, is that I think that a lot of them have evolved to the point where, in some sense, there is no difference in their reality between what we consider to be physical reality or non-physical reality. Bashar himself has said they've evolved to the point where they call themselves quasi-physical. They have elements of both physical beings and spirit beings. And therefore, they're sort of living in a dream state constantly as their normal reality. So it's like they occupy a mid-ground, you know, as above, so below. They're like right in the middle. They're straddling two realities and have figured out how to merge those realities so that they can exhibit the abilities that we often ascribe to dreams, to non-physical beings. Things like, you know, even though it might have a quote-unquote technological explanation, they can do things that we would ascribe to beings that we encounter in a dream state, like walking through walls and things like that. So they have really gone to the point where their reality is a mesh of what we consider to be a dreamlike reality and still has elements of physicality so that they can interact with other beings that are not necessarily on their level. They can raise and lower their vibration at will, so that they can interact with different levels of different beings, including spirit. And I think that's kind of one of the things that's going to be the most surprising when we have open contact, is exposure to the vibration of these more highly evolved extraterrestrials is actually going to rub off on us and give us more of an ability to actually communicate with non-physical beings.
Thank you, Daryl. Of course, this is in the US, it's much more of an open conversation, even in up to the government levels. Here in the UK, we don't have a registry for UFO sightings or belief in aliens. So I'm going to hand over to you, Kelly, our American, to talk about disclosure and the government involvement in it and everything.
Right, right. That's such an interesting thing. Well, first of all, what you just said, Daryl, about the kind of your vibration raising when you're in communication with an extraterrestrial being. And I would say for all of us who might not think that we are, unless except for in dreams, by being in contact with you, I always feel my vibration raising. Everything tends to sparkle after I've been with you, and it lasts for a while because I feel like you're this portal. I don't mean to, you know, pander to your ego, because hopefully you don't have one by now.
Anything that we do, this is sort of keys into what Bashar calls the formula. Anything we do that is representative of our passion, deep meditations, being in the zone, becoming, let's say, an actor, becoming the part, a painter who was lost in the painting, a singer who's lost in the song, an athlete who's in the zone. Anytime we go into doing what we love to do, you're not, you know, you think it feels like it's been 15 minutes and you look up and it looks like it's been 2 hours. You're not feeling the passage of time. That is a channeling state. That is a higher state in the brain. It's called gamma, between 40 and 100 cycles per second. And when you go into that state by acting on your passion and getting into your flow state, you actually start processing information much more rapidly. You start making different associations to different things and connecting things in ways you don't normally do. You start seeing things from a big picture point of view. This is what allows you to access more information because, again, just talking physics, you can't really access what you're not the frequency of first. You can only see what you're on the same level as. So when you raise your vibration by getting into a flow state, by acting on your passion, not paying attention to the passage of time anymore, not feeling it, you actually have access to more information of a higher nature. And it also opens you up to communication and connection to beings that also operate on that level. So this is kind of why we did the documentary we did called First Contact, which is about how it became a channel and what Bashar's messages are all about, is we wanted to demystify the concept of channeling because everybody channels. They get into a channeling state when they're doing what they love to do, when they're not paying attention to the passage of time, when they're flowing. Everybody goes into gamma when they do that. And that is what allows us to access more of who we are, bring more of our soul self through the physical form, and really operate on that vibrational level. And this is what the ETs are looking for. They're looking for equal companions. They're looking for people that know how to be their true selves, let go of fear-based beliefs that hold us back from being in that frequency, and really start operating as who we were made to be.
So for anyone who's listening that is even the tiniest bit skeptical, what's great about this show, Teresa, and I love that you bring this part in, we had all the top scientists from IONS on our show last week, and Dean Radin was talking about you know, what they do, measuring consciousness, being able to kind of prove it so that it's not. So I think it's all part of this disclosure so that even the cynics are going to be able to do this. And so you, in your documentary, you actually were, there was very fancy equipment measuring your vibrational state. So can you say something?
I was connected to an EEG with a qualified technician because we wanted to see what is the difference in the brain between my normal waking state and when I channel. And this is what demonstrated to us that it doesn't matter whether you believe that Bashar as an entity is real. It could be another level of my own consciousness delivering the information that comes through. What matters is that we have demonstrated scientifically that the channeling state is truly an actual altered state, and that when people get into it, they are capable of other kinds of perceptions and downloading of different kinds and different levels of information. So many different kinds of things are happening in the brain in the channeling state, one of which we discovered in the EEG test was that your processing speed does rise. And that is not actually supposed to be possible according to brain science. It's like you reach a set point of how you process information by the time you're an adult. And unless you have a head injury or something, that's never supposed to change during the course of your lifetime. But when you go into the channeling state, when I went into the channeling state hooked up to the EEG, my processing speed rose dramatically. And the strangest thing is not only did it rise when the entity was speaking, it rose even further when the entity was listening to someone else. So it's like he's listening so deeply that he understands the true nature of a question being asked and the real reason behind it, rather than just the surface idea of what the question is. Plus, the other weird thing that we discovered in the EEG test was that your brain has certain sections that are responsible for processing what comes across as your personality. But in the channeling state, all of those centers shut off. So if the processing centers in my brain shut off that represent my personality, who's speaking when I'm channeling, because my personality is shut down. So we did discover a lot of interesting things happening in the brain, and there are several more things. So all we were really demonstrating is, again, not that anyone has to believe in the esoteric part of it, but that the channeling state, the gamma state in the brain between 40 and 100 cycles per second, is a true altered state that allows you to process information and deliver information in a very different way.
Wow, Daryl, if this conversation couldn't get any more expansive, guess what? We're mirroring a dream state here. It is. The conversation is going to get even more infinite, because I'm absolutely delighted to welcome someone I'm honored to call my friend, Regina Meredith, to this conversation. She's a broadcaster, author, and one of the world's most respected explorers of consciousness. Through her extraordinary interviews on Gaia TV Open Minds, Regina has also inspired millions to question, explore, and awaken to new possibilities, uncovering hidden truths, ancient wisdom, and remarkable insights into the nature of reality. And if you'd like to explore more of Regina's work, you can visit reginameredith.com. Regina, I just love seeing you, your beautiful face. Thank you. And can we begin with a subject I know is close to your heart, channeling? Having sat across from so many channelers and working with Lee Harris on that best-selling title, Future Human, because Lee's a channel, what have you learned about discerning authentic channeling from projection, wishful thinking, or performance? And are there common qualities that stand out for you?
Well, I think it goes back to what, and thank you for having me with you today. So I always love being with you. Thank you. And good to see you, Kelly. And Daryl, I absolutely love listening to you. I do that quite a bit for probably 30 years now, a long time. Anyway, to get back to your question, my real awakening in this lifetime came as a result of finding a channeler back in 1983, I believe it was, which at the time I didn't know what channeling meant. And so it was, all I know is I saw her face in this advertisement and I had to go there. I didn't know why. I didn't know at the time that she was part of my own soul group and that she and I trade roles in different lifetimes. And this lifetime, I'm the questioner and she's very much more beta in that sense. And so she was able to bring through our main teacher from our soul group, an interdimensional soul group. And there was a type of shift that I rarely see. I think it's becoming, it depends on the individual channeler. Many are able to access their beings very quickly. She did not. It took quite a long time where she would go into a state and she was completely gone. And when I walked into the room that first time, everything felt different. I don't know how else to describe it. There was a type of density, but not, I can't even say density, power in the room, but it wasn't dense. It was light. And so I took her hand and she started talking and the being was able to see into the very questions I had been asking myself right off the bat. And I started seeing over time, that's what they did to get people's attention. That we're here, we can see you, so let's just roll up our sleeves and talk. So that was my very first experience with channeling, and it happened to be my group of souls whom I channel at other times, and in this lifetime to a small degree, not exactly the same as Daryl and Linda, where it comes in and takes over. Mine is a little looser connection with them, where it still comes in, but I'm translating it, even though I have am in an altered state. I don't call it channeling. Daryl might have a better word for that. But over the years, and particularly now, what I'm seeing is a plethora of new channelers popping up. And oftentimes, I don't believe they're channeling. Honestly, some of them may be contacting their higher self, which is, to me, wonderful. If you can contact your higher self, that's kind of the holy grail anyway. Yeah. But I don't even, a lot of times, it's not even that. It's oftentimes, I believe now, it's a seller. It's clickbait.
Yeah,
there's a lot of ego involved. Their personality still stands. And I think when your personality still stands, you know that something's not right. As Daryl just said, he's really aside. He's not there when Bashar has come in. And that was the same with my teacher that came through my friend in the same soul group. So I think it's very care you have to be very careful looking at what's the person up to, what do they have to gain, what are they selling, is their personality still there, and then go in on more subtle levels. Because, and a lot of times I'm not denigrating this, but a lot of people are. I'm talking to the Lord Ashtar and the Ashtar Command and so forth. So I don't know that those identities necessarily are helpful. I think if a person's truthful and bringing through information from another dimension or another being, let it stand for what it is, right?
Let it
So
stand.
I
Let
would say, yeah, the ego is the big one. And what are you selling?
Thank you, Regina Kelly. I know you've got questions for Regina too.
Exactly. I just want to talk about the spacecraft in the middle of the room. No longer the elephant. I think we're going to change that saying.
Yes, disclosure. Oh, yes.
Disclosure Day. We just the, this there's a big movie that just came out. A lot of us have been waiting for it for a long time. I got to see it and I smuggled my dog in to see the movie with us. So it was I'd love to hear but from both of you, Regina and Daryl, how you felt if you saw it and if you think that it's helping us, if you think it's not, or where it hit the mark, where it didn't. So Regina, let's
Or
start
if
with
you
you and then we'll go
prefer
to
Project Hail
yeah.
Mary.
Oh yeah, or Project Hail Mary. Yeah, both.
Yeah.
That was great too.
Okay.
Regina.
Okay. Well, I think I had a little different perception of it than a lot of people. So let me just start with saying, I thought it was a fun romp. It has the bad guys, the dark ops of the US military chasing people who are wishing to disclose truth. And I won't go into great detail in case people have not seen it yet. I did go on opening day because I had been waiting for it. And it was actually part of the disclosure movement with Stephen Greer and Danny Sheehan and all this back when it happened. I was there at the press club in DC for that disclosure, which was truly phenomenal. And so this one, I think one of the shortcomings was, okay, first of all, Steven Spielberg seems to have an affection for a particular species of beings, which are, the short little gray aliens and the tall gray aliens. And so that's the limitation of what he features. And Stephen Greer, for example, says there are at least 42 known species that visit Earth. I would argue probably far more. And from my soul group, they would say that they've been here forever. I mean, they've been here as long as we've been here, and we're part of the original process of the integration of the human and our emotional and electrical system and so forth. So they've come kindly, I think, for the most part. There are some that this doesn't get acknowledged very often that have been here more to use, more as users. You always have people marauding around the planet, our planet, us humans, and the same thing throughout the universe. And you have every kind of being. And so this ignored the fact that there are some forces that really don't have our best interest in heart that are here. But by and large, the beings here have been here very helpful. They've been observing, watching, I would say even protecting a lot of our Earth species because Earth is so special. I mean, biological species, gathering specimens. This has been going on a long time. I don't find it even remotely uncomfortable to think of. It's not like anyone's bothering us. And as many people have said, if ETs were here to harm us, truly harm us, they would have done so
It would have
long ago.
happened.
We're very vulnerable
Right.
little beings. We could be hurt
Yeah.
quite easily, and we're not. So
Like little
that's what
ants.
I would say without getting into the nitty-gritty of the film. I
Thank
didn't
you.
particularly like that the humans were the ones that were kind of made out to be the bad guys, and that we don't have compassion and ETs do. And that's a much, much larger story. So other than
Yeah.
that, it's a fun romp, and I think it's good that it's
So
talking
one
about love
thumb
and
up, one thumb
compassion.
in the middle.
Yeah, one thumb in the middle, but I think it's a good
Okay.
way to introduce the public to the notion that this information has been hidden and there are
Yes.
beings here who are not here to harm us. I think it hits the mark on that. And it's
Okay.
fun. It's
Daryl
fun.
Anka. Great. Thank you, Regina. Daryl Anka, how did you feel being having been a part of the entertainment business and being on all sides of this conversation? How did it leave you?
I've seen the film twice. I have to be careful about what I'm saying here because, again, I don't want to have introduce spoilers for people that haven't seen it.
Spoil it. If people haven't watched it, Well,
it
it's
can
not
cover their ears or something.
exactly there. Just speak freely.
Okay,
Be
well, I
fully
mean,
disclosed.
yeah, I enjoyed the movie. What I found very interesting is how divisive the film has become, because it's like people either love it or hate it. And I was really surprised at the vehemence of the level of the people that actually hate the movie. And so I
Wow.
started trying to find out by talking to some people. It's like, what is it that, made you feel that way? And I have discovered to some degree, and it's not true in all cases, I think the people that didn't get it, they were expecting the feel good of E.T. the extraterrestrial, or they were expecting the mystery of Close Encounters, and they didn't understand what Spielberg was doing here. Because even though he got some things wrong, and I'm not saying it's, the best film in the world, and he couldn't cover everything that's going on, but I think he was simply trying to tell us this is what's happening, even though he dramatized it. And I think that some of the people I talked to about why they didn't like the film, when I told them, you understand that disclosure is actually real, it is actually happening, they were like shocked. You mean that's real? They didn't get that it was real in terms of what he's talking about. And so I think that they were thrown by the idea of what this film was about and just thought, oh, it's a piece of fluff and, I don't know where he's going with this. But the thing that I really did find that, like I said, I saw it twice and I missed this the first time I saw it, but I caught it the second time I saw it, which, and I was, and number one, surprised at how many things, even though dramatized, how many things he got accurate in the movie in terms of things that are happening, things that he alluded to that are real things. But the other thing, the thing that really sold it at the end for me, and what I think a lot of people don't quite understand yet, is I'm going to ask you this question. You saw the movie. Who was responsible for actually driving disclosure in that movie?
Oh, and I'm going to jump in like a black
It's a perfect
hole
place. It's a
in that
perfect
place. There's
place.
a perfect place for everyone to hold tight to their dreams.
Oh,
See you on the other
Teresa,
side.
do we have to? Do we have to? Okay, well, we can ponder. We can ponder Daryl's question. That gives us something to chew on. And we won't go into a black hole. We'll just go into a break.
The station
We'll
that
be
makes you
back.
feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Wake up, dreamers. We came out the other side of the black hole, offering you all proof
Yay.
of life out there, but not as you know it. And you can't see it because this is audio, but on the Zoom here, and if you check out UK Health Radio YouTube, you can see us all here. People are crowding into the room because when I announced that we had two amazing channels from the States here, Regina Meredith and Daryl Anker. So many people had questions for them. So Kelly and I are just going to have to step aside a bit. So I'm going to bring in the first question from an English channel. I thought it would be time to bring in a Brit, to help this special relationship, a channel from the Brit. Her name is Alexandra Wenman. She's known as the Cosmic Compass over here. Alexandra, are you receiving me?
I am. Hi, Teresa. Thank you so much for welcoming me into this fantastic room. How amazing.
It's wonderful to have you here. Please, before we go to our guest presenters, can you ask both Regina and Daryl a question?
So I've often referred to myself as a reluctant channel. I've just wanted to be normal my whole life. I don't know what that actually means, but here we go. In the course of my experience with star beings and light consciousness, I've actually experienced them both merge with me in consciousness, but I've also experienced myself as a galactic being or consciousness or a light being. And then what has ensued has been quite a painful integration process, a bit like an alchemy that can often lead to a sort of a dark night of the soul, a lot of ego collapse, and a lot of integration. And I just wanted to get your take on that. I wonder if Daryl, if Bashar, if you see him as part of yourself, and Regina, if your soul group, if you know that there's a greater consciousness that you sort of belong to as part of that. I sort of see the whole multidimensionality of it, but I'd love to hear your take on it.
Regina, do you want to go first?
No, you go ahead, Daryl.
Okay, thank you. I mean, we all belong to larger soul families, and everyone that is important in our lives, be it physically human or other beings, in some way is usually part of that larger soul family. So definitely, there's a connection to a larger group of consciousness in any connection you make with any member of your soul family. And the idea for me when I first started over 40 years ago is that it did take a couple of years to get used to the energy of that connection. There were moments where trying to bring that vibration through did cause physical pains and aches and things like that until I started clearing out my attic, so to speak, of, negative beliefs, fear-based beliefs. Just things that I had been raised to think of in a certain way that were not compatible with letting that energy clearly through. But as soon as I started clearing all of that out, it started buoying me up and started leaving me with energy. So it is not uncommon that it takes a little bit of time for you to get used, because I usually say the analogy is like it's like trying to get Hoover Dam through a garden hose. We're these little beings, and there's so much of what these beings and connections are all about, trying to squeeze all of that down and push it through our bodies that are not used to handling those higher vibrations does take practice, and it does cause you to stretch over time. So what you're going through, in a sense, is usually pretty typical of restructuring your own ego structure to be able to sort of get out of the way enough to allow what needs to happen to happen, as long as your intention is that you want this to happen for the best of all concerned and serve humanity with this information, it'll work itself out. All you have to do, in a sense, is just keep going.
Yeah, I totally agree with what Daryl said. And for me, it's a little different. I have no member of my soul family or any guides that are peripheral to that have tried to come in physically. And I one time tried to integrate myself in physically. And when, after an intense experience in what is known to be the John the Baptist cave above the baptismal well in Angkorim, Israel. And in this experience, trying to even bring myself in, I could only get to about here. And then, like you say, the garden hose thing, I literally was getting dizzy and sick. So I haven't had the experience of allowing anything into my body. But when they wish to speak to me, what happens is that feeling for me just comes in, takes over. It doesn't have anything to do with me and is sometimes inconvenient, like when I'm driving.
Oh,
Every
God.
now and I have no idea why they would do that, but it's happened on a couple of occasions where they want to say something now. So I feel it happening, the syrup coming in through my head, and it's not me. And I just pull over, take the time, and shake it off afterward. But yes, for me, it is very much a feeling of kind of peace. I don't feel alone. I have never felt alone. I think I've always sensed the presence of my beings with me, and I rely on them to be able to help me out if I'm in trouble, even if I'm in a state of consciousness where I can't help myself, which happens on occasion physically, things happen, they're there and they take care of me. So we have an interactive reliance upon, I have an interactive reliance upon them and know that they're always there. So yeah, I don't integrate them into my body as you two do. I only integrate them down to here. That's it.
Like angels watching over you, Regina. Love
yes.
this. Thank you, Al. And I want to get through because there's so many people who want questions. So Dr. Amy Robbins, host
Amy.
Of the hugely popular podcast, Life, Death and the Space Between, and our resident clinical psychologist, Amy, what question would you like to ask Daryl and Regina?
Thank you. Hello, hello. So I see so many people in my office that are really, really struggling with the state of the world, the state of humanity right now. So in a nutshell, what are these aliens, these light beings telling you? What are you hearing about the world as it is now and how people can understand themselves in this world and everything that's happening?
The way that I understand this, as the channeling has explained it, we're at the end of one cycle and the beginning of a new cycle of evolution for humanity. And because we're at the end of one cycle, it's like you have to get everything out on the table that's been hidden. When Bashar called 2026 the year of disclosure, he didn't just mean UFO information. He meant all secrets have to come out. We have to become transparent. Everything has to be brought out on the table, the positive and the negative, so that we can see what we have been doing and finally make a decision. Is this the way we want to continue, or do we really want to finally make a change? So we're being shown in no uncertain terms, very blatantly, the chaotic result of having held on to fear-based beliefs and negative beliefs for so long, and we're getting people demonstrating all of the negativity out front very blatantly so that we cannot miss it, so that we have an opportunity to say, this is not what we prefer. How can we address this? And how can we finally move forward in a more positive way? So this is our quote unquote dark night of the soul transition, darkest before the dawn, because the dawn is about to happen. And so we have to get the darkness out of the way. We have to let go of the shadow. We have to integrate it and balance it in a way that will allow us to move forward into the light.
Oh, that's
like
beautiful.
The spiritual and the psychological coming together on a global level as
yes.
well. I love it.
Regina?
Regina.
Well, I would say also what's wonderful is that according to astrologers, both Western and Vedic, that the end of this month, July, in Vedic astrology, around the 24th of July, it just slides a few days depending, is the time when we're supposed to go into the most intense opportunity for the truth to start being told. And from that point on, it's supposed to signify a new era where it is on the table. It's coming out so fast, we can't ignore it anymore. And one of the things that I have been schooled in is the notion that when this happens, our job now, and in fact, the Z's talked about it in our book as well, is to find some emotional coherence. Because if we allow our emotions to continue running the show, then it's going to be messy and uglier than it needs to be. So if we can find our sense of self, anchor, home, love, family, beauty amidst this, to me, that's one of the most critical factors, emotional coherence. So that we can do this. We all have the possibility to do this amidst all these things that are going to make us quite angry when we find out more. It already is. I think people are already up in arms. I want to say something really quickly because it's just quirky and interesting. I have a puppy. I'm watching puppy training videos. This one couple who've been doing this over 20 years had this frank post on YouTube where they're sitting with their arms folded. Look, we've got to talk. And what they were saying is that dogs have never been behaving so badly. They're a reflection of us. They're an emotional reflection of us. And so they're saying, this is not the dog. This is you, the owners. So
I resemble that remark.
It's reflected in our little animals around us. So for
Thank you.
both our puppy's sake, for our sake, for our kids' sake, for the planet's sake. We have to find that place of love and emotional coherence. And that means starting to check in with the heart more. That's the future.
Check in with the heart. Love that. Alex and Phil, I just want you to quickly ask Daryl and Regina your questions. If you could just be quick, because we are on a timer here.
That's a lot.
I'll go very, very quickly. For both of you, I just wonder if there's any questions that we're not asking, not here on the show, in life about extraterrestrial life that you wish people were talking about and we're not.
Rapid fire
Rapid fire.
responses.
In a nutshell.
Why are they so interested in us? I think the answer to that question actually will put us in touch with who and what we really are, because the ETs see us for what we really are. It's us that are blind to ourselves. So I think answering the question, why are they so interested in us, will really open up an understanding of the connections that exist in the cosmos and what it is we're about to learn, not only about them, but about ourselves.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that makes me want to
I
cry.
totally concur. That is the question. Why are they visiting Earth? Why have they been coming for tens of thousands, millions of years? What is their history with us as the development, our development as human beings? So I totally agree with Daryl. Those are the questions.
And I should say,
Bill.
Will be as our sound healer and
Hi,
Reiki
guys.
practitioner, and then
Hi.
Phil, our intuitive coach
Who's got a book coming out as well on
yeah, about
that's
channeling.
channeled
Yeah.
material?
All right, I'm going to
Bill.
get through this real quick because this was a way more nuanced question than we've probably got time for. But okay, I wanted to talk about parallel timelines, right? So shared reality. So for example, if I took this laptop right now, and I flung it against the wall, that would instantly shift all of us to a chaotic new timeline. But how do my choices shift everyone else's reality? Is everyone shifting with me because based on my choice? Or does this open up the question that is any of this even real? You're welcome. 1 minute.
And he
Every
was Doctor Strange. He was an actor.
yeah.
He actually had a part in Doctor Strange. Of course, he's going to ask that question.
Everything, every timeline, every life path is interconnected. Think of it as threads in a tapestry. Whatever's on your life path is connected and interconnected and interwoven with everyone else's life path. So whatever it is you're choosing, everything shifts to accommodate it because all those threads already exist. If you can do it, it's on your life path and it's interconnected with everyone else's life path that they've also chosen. There are no accidents. So it all works together as an orchestration.
Regina.
And that orchestration is changing every single thought, every single decision you make. And I think the more we repeat a particular thought, a particular desire, that's when we concretize the outcome. And totally agree with Daryl that all these paths are intertwined with these people in our soul group. So, yes.
Oh, I hate that time is running out. I wish this episode would never end, and it's one
I
I will
know.
never forget. Thank you, Daryl and Regina, for all you are and do, and for your much-needed
Thank
message of
you.
inner disclosure and healing, being the most powerful force in the cosmos, and for proving the truth is both out there and in here. Kelly, your final words.
I just love you guys. Thank you so much for disclosing what you've disclosed, and I know we will all be better for it. So, Johan, take it away, the healing power of your dreams by Dana Wald.
Every symbol
Ocean.
has a story, leaves a breadcrumb.